is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 16, Into the Deep. A couple of weeks after the end of the Immortal Alliance conference, two men in disguise meet a pair of younger men, also in disguise, in the Mashu Forest, which is very firmly on Huanhua Palace sect territory. What the palace master doesn't know won't hurt him, which is kind of a shame, actually. Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan seem totally fine with the trespassing, which is the only part of the scheme they really know about. So Shang Qinghua, scum thief, scum spy, scum saboteur, and a master of dodging moral questions if he can help it, calls that permission enough. It's good to see these two Huanhua disciples again. They weren't permitted to attend the Immortal Alliance conference as part of their punishment for mishandling the House of Rejuvenation, which, of course, totally sucks for the kids, but means free scouts for Shang Qinghua. A nasty holdover part of his brain is still going, bro, don't get attached to the fucking NPCs. But it's a little late for that. The young men are hilariously open-mouthed to be in the presence of the Baichan war god, Liu Qingge. Poor, humbled Duan Tianyu tells them what an honor it is to meet such an accomplished warrior, in a very obvious, oh god, why can't I shut the fuck up already, kind of way, which Liu Qingge seems to take as just another regular day of being him. Meanwhile, Duan Tianyu's friend, Yu Qiaonan, looks like he's experiencing some sort of extremely relatable, life-changing, oh shit, he's so close enough that in theory, I could totally touch those muscles right now. Awakening. Shang Qinghua has never been into Liu Qingge like that, but he knows that general feeling very well. We've been checking through the sect library and only found an old, unlabeled painting of the same cave entrance you drew out for us, Master Shang, Duan Tianyu says, as he leads them through the woods. Your drawing was missing some details, though, Yu Qiaonan adds. Yeah, mine was more of a drawing of something only vaguely described to me. No reference or anything, Shang Qinghua says, unoffended. He went through so much paper straining to remember a minor detail from a past life, which was clearly paper well spent if they actually found it. Master Shang, are you sure you weren't being lied to? Duan Tianyu tries. Sure enough to bet my life on it, apparently, Shang Qinghua says. Now, where's this hole in the ground? Yes, yes, it might not be the right one, you've said that. But Huanhua Palace can't have that many holes in the ground filled with ancient ruins on their territory. More than I expected, but this is the only place that really matched the description. And the only place that had markings and stairs inside, Yu Qiaonan pipes up. We went to all sorts of remote and even forbidden places while looking. Tianyu, what? We didn't go down the stairs or anything. Master Shang, we didn't actually go down any of the weird haunted holes.
Then how do you know there were stairs inside?
Liu Qingge drawls. Shang Qinghua snorts. Well, not too far down, Yu Qiaonan amends, embarrassed. The hole in the ground that the disciples bring them to is everything that Shang Qinghua has been hoping for. It's a slightly overgrown opening in the side of a hill, clearly man-made, underneath a majestic ancient tree. It's wide enough for two men to pass abreast, with the hint of a long-preserved, intricately carved structure inside. It's also totally one of those terrible mouths to the underground which seem to breathe darkness, lying in wait for people foolish enough to wander inside and be eaten. Ah, yes, This is it, Shang Qinghua says brightly. Oh, fuck. He's really doing this, huh? Liu Qingge looks somewhat intrigued now. Duan Tianyu looks horrified. Shang Qinghua slaps the young man on the shoulder. Aha, don't worry. We're not going to die down there or anything. We know exactly what to expect down there and how to deal with it all. And if things go horribly, horribly wrong somehow, our completely unsurprised sect leader is going to blame us for that, not you. Duan Tianyu presses his lips together, still distressed. Understandable. What is down there? Yu Qiaonan asks curiously. I don't know if I should tell you, Shang Qinghua says, though his instincts are shrieking that ignorance is really not bliss in life or death situations. If you find yourself down there someday, for some ridiculous reason, because someone's life is on the line and you've exhausted all other options, I suppose that it's better if you have enough knowledge to maybe live through it. I do not want to be in that situation, Yu Qiaonan says readily. I would appreciate knowing a little more, Master Shang, Duan Tianyu admits. Okay, then, at the bottom of the hole, don't fight the talking statues in front of the gate. Talk to them. Bring a light that can last at least, I want to say at least a month to be safe, but I'd personally go for at least a year to be extra safe. Oh, and bring two, maybe? Then don't step off the road. Don't fly. Or stop walking, no matter what you see. No matter what, all right? It's all just abyssal visions. Here's hoping some sound-canceling talismans will help there. The sun will rise eventually. When you get to the water, don't try to fly across it. Take the boat. Maybe bring your own boat to be sure. When you get to the garden, try to play nice with its master. But he's not going to give you anything, no matter how many tests you pass, even if it breaks a bargain. He can't be bribed or bought. You want to just take the plant with the small white flowers and the thorns. Probably the most humble-looking and ugliest plant there, honestly. He's going to send horrible monsters after you afterwards, so you need to be able to fight them and win. But they should be vulnerable to spiritual fire. Then it's just a long walk back. Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan listen attentively, looking increasingly confused. Liu Qingge, who's been subjected to this rundown many times already, because Shang Qinghua determined that this won't be like that fucking succubus mission, doesn't look as though he's paying attention. That's very detailed, Yu Qiaonan says. Which is basically the polite way of saying, how the fuck do you know that? Or maybe, you know that no plan actually survives contact with the enemy, right? But Shang Qinghua suspects that it's the former for this young fellow. Liu Qingge didn't even ask where Shang Qinghua got this information. This man lives so far out on the fucking edge that Shang Qinghua really gets antsy just knowing him. He hopes that the two of them are going to balance each other out somehow. A man who has possibly never experienced anxiety in his life, and a man who has never not been experiencing some degree of internal screaming. Yup, they'll be fine. I have ways of finding these things out, airplane shooting towards the sky says. Get fucked, Shang Qinghua thinks at his system, then ignores it. That thing really goes off all the time. He's used to this bullshit by now, but it did not help his stress levels during the Immortal Alliance conference. It doesn't help his stress levels ever, actually. At least Yue Qingyuan gave in, Shang Qinghua thinks absently, as they slowly descend the ancient staircase into the open, swallowing darkness. Just thinking about how the man was almost going to be a sect leader and senior martial brother about this, instead of an actual bro, is enough to fill Shang Qinghua with resentment and spite. Honestly, who the fuck are you to tell the author god he can't do something, huh? The staircase goes down a long, precarious way. It's one of those, that's scenic, and, but also, how the fuck is that still standing, pieces of quest setting. It goes down past the point of the stairs beneath their boots, the ancient arches they pass through, and the dramatic scenes carved into the walls all give off the cold of stone that has never seen sunlight. Shang Cheng Hua and Liu Qingge raise the lights in their hands to look at the scenes carved into the walls, which appear to depict the rise of a great master, the rise of a sect, the disapproval of a powerful spirit or god, a great flood, and then the shameful exile of that great master. Very nice. Wait, who the fuck actually made that set design? Big bro fucking deserves needing a new tea set, Shang Cheng Hua thinks, having shamelessly abandoned his disciples to deal with the revived tensions between Chang Ding Peak and Qing Jing Peak. That last fight was, well, he didn't see it or hear it, but he knows it was bad. It's never not bad. Mu Qingfang is going to be in such a bad mood when they get back, trying to keep everyone from ruining their health through the power of spite and guilt. Shang Cheng Hua is sure that Lady Xia's original youth-restoring plot device will brighten the overworked Mu Qingfang's days. At the bottom of this ancient pit is an enormous gate, the sort that looks like it was built for giants by giants, with giant stone statues on either side of it. It's intimidating enough before the ground rumbles and the stone statues start moving, the grinding stone as painful as nails down a chalkboard. Liu Qingge's free hand goes to his sword. Shang Cheng Hua's free hand goes on top of Liu Qingge's hand to stop him. "Oh, what is this?" says a warm voice from one statue. "Trespassers," suggests a glum voice from the second statue. Liu Qingge shakes off Shang Cheng Hua's hand, but he doesn't draw his sword. Even though it is very, very unnerving to have two stone giants circling them, their footsteps making the ground tremble, their eyes staring unblinkingly. On one hand, it's totally fair that Yue Qingyuan doubts Shang Cheng Hua's abilities, given that he doesn't know about the author god thing. On the other hand, Shang Cheng Hua is a peak lord. He did that. Maybe other candidates deserved it more, but that doesn't mean that he's completely unqualified. In fact, doesn't it say that Shang Cheng Hua is more likely to succeed if he knows all of his weaknesses and actively works to accommodate for them? Sure, sometimes it feels like he's barely afloat in the day-in, day-out of Anding Peak, and sometimes he really just doesn't give a shit. But he's been doing pretty well lately, he thinks. He made the worst cultivation conference ever happen, and it wasn't so bad. Shang Cheng Hua clears his throat. Just visitors, he corrects. Oh, great and honorable guardians, we humble cultivators seek an audience with the first master of Huanhua Palace Sect.
Palace Sect? Is that what they call it now? The warm voice says, amused. Everything falls to ruin in the end, the glum voice says. Why do you seek an audience? Power, no doubt. It's always power.
Actually, it's a cure we're seeking, Shang Cheng Hua says.
For death, power in some form or another, always.
Sort of, Shang Cheng Hua says. He's no protagonist. He has no silver tongue or golden halo, but he does his best to play the role, where the hero plays up the tragedy of the quest and manages to melt even hearts made of stone. Begging pitifully is kind of his thing, actually. And he's an author, damn it. He can practically sneeze out soppy, angsty bullshit. He even had time to figure out how to best frame a poor, innocent girl being fatally cursed by an ancient demon, which is kind of true if you look at it from the right angle and squint. And sounds way better than saying some random human assholes did it out of greed and fear and general shittiness.
Oh, to save a loved one of your loved one, the warm voice says, finally approving. Oh, that is much more selfless than most of the others. That is very noble. At least you're not trying to reverse death, the glum voice says begrudgingly. Definitely not, Zhang Qinghua agrees. As a man who has absolutely looked into reversing death and is mostly sure that he could manage it if he really, really had to go against the natural order. Honestly, sometimes necromancy seems a lot easier than regular healing, which is just unfair. Mo Beijun would maybe help him get the demonic artifact, most likely to help with that, which is another point in Zhang Qinghua's favor. Admittedly, it's another one that he absolutely can't tell Yue Qingyuan about, but he still did that. He did that. He managed to be a good enough servant that it genuinely looks like Mo Beijun has no intentions of killing him. That the Demon Lord is willing to do his very useful, very loyal servant an enormous favor and unknowingly do battle against the system's will. The man who was destined to murder him has made it clear that he can ask for favors. He still can't get over that. He thought that he was absolutely fucked for sure, yet he somehow succeeded in changing his character's fate. It's possible. Just let them through already, the glum voice says. You always let them through when it's for love. I don't know why we bother to guard this gate at all. Love makes the best stories, the warm voice protests, as the giant statues move together to push open the massive gates. The grinding stone echoes through the deep, swallowing darkness. Why not let them try, unless there's a chance that they might succeed? Love is the only way they will make it through. No one can see the abyss and survive if they do not have something to love. Or something they hate, the glum voice proposes, as the two statues settle back on either side of the gate and go still again, leaving Zhang Qinghua and Liu Qingge in front of the yawning gate. That worked, Liu Qingge says, sounding surprised. I told you it would, Zhang Qinghua mutters, because he did. He wrote this, for fuck's sake, so he knows how to handle this mission. He can do this. They walk forward into the worst of the darkness. Zhang Qinghua told Luo Jiahui he would do this. He promised his nephew that he would come home. He even told Granny's son that he wouldn't become yet another corpse Zhang Chong Mountain Sect failed to bring home. If he fails now, it really feels like he'll never be anything but a selfish scum minor character, a coward who runs away from all his battles, and a traitor destined to ruin all good things, and a bitter transmigrator following the motions of the plot, watching characters running through the story he never wanted to write, looking for the wires in the walls that would take him back to real life again. He doesn't want that anymore. Well, he never wanted that, but he didn't think there was really a way out of it before, and he had stopped trying to find one. He didn't have a reason to get better before. He knows he can get better now. Hey, did you think I was just making everything up? Zhang Qinghua demands. No, Liu Qingge says in a voice that just might mean kind of. Is it really so shocking that I know what I'm doing sometimes? It's not that shocking. Unlike Zhang Qinghua's last mission, forced on him by the cruel system, admittedly to save Luo Jiahui and Luo Binghe from a demon who was pushed into their path thanks to Zhang Qinghua's old fuck-up, this time things actually go according to plan. Zhang Qinghua keeps waiting for the catch. He keeps waiting for the system to pop up and smack him with something really nasty. But it leaves him mercifully be for once. His luck is actually good. It's about time. He's the creator of this world. It ought to bend to his whims more often. First comes a long walk through the swallowing dark, through an underground desert where even the stone walls leave them. The road is long and unpleasant and cold and dark. The darkness really cannot be understated. Xiangqing Hua brought a lot of lights to hold, to follow, and even to guide them. Lights which won't go out, lights that honestly can't go out. But even the lights seem to feel like they're drawing in on themselves for safety. It's one of those shitty places where, if you're alone, the only thing you have for company is the sound of your own breath, your own heartbeat in your ears, and your footsteps below you. So, Xiangqing Hua is very grateful to have Liu Qingge with him, even if Liu Qingge isn't much of a conversationalist. Xiangqing Hua can pick up the man's slack. At least at first. Until days' worth of swallowing darkness have passed them by. Maybe. Time is strange down here. It's difficult to tell. Being a little bit immortal is weird sometimes. And they've exhausted countless stories of families, martial families, and adventures. And Xiangqing Hua's throat is hoarse with nervously trying to laugh back the misery of the road. That's when the abyssal ghosts start appearing and, well, those suck. Xiangqing Hua's sound-canceling spell idea works well, at least, keeping nightmarish screams and such at bay. But it doesn't do much about the gruesome visions. They have to stay off the road, and they don't like the lights, but that's not much. He's seen worse, arguably, but they still don't bear describing. He can't believe quests like this are supposed to make people better versions of themselves. Luo Bingha became an emperor, surpassing all other kings, but not in a good way. Abysses aren't good for people. Good thing that Xiangqing Hua is good at repressing that shit. Liu Qingge's company is appreciated even when they stop talking. He's a steady hand on Xiangqing Hua's shoulder, on his arm, on his back. The worst he does at any of the abyssal visions is grimace, and he snorts when Xiangqing Hua tries to make witty comments about the shitty sights. It makes the grueling march through what Xiangqing Hua is fairly certain is a lesser cousin of the Eternal Abyss just a little bit easier. Though it's still bad enough that he actually gets bored of cursing airplane shooting towards the sky for including more than one hellish abyss in Proud Immortal Demon Way. Eventually, after a walk long enough to tire even immortal masters, the sun rises. The sun rises deep underground. Well, a sun-like thing rises, lighting up something that looks exactly like a bright blue sky above them. There's no sign of the stone gate they walk through, or of anything, really. There's only the long road they've been following and a deep green sea ahead of them. Next to the sea is a boat. They row across the sea to a garden, more magnificent than any garden in the world above, filled with jewel-laden trees curving and curling in unnaturally neat geometric patterns, trimmed to perfection. Flowers are everywhere, ranging in size from smaller than a grain of rice to larger than an adult man. Even if Xiangqing Hua knew all his flowers, he probably couldn't name these, and airplane shooting towards the sky definitely can't claim real credit for any of them. Wow, the system took a phrase like unearthly beauty and fucking ran with it, huh? It kind of also looks like 100 alarms might go off if they touch anything. Tending to the garden is an old man with white hair and pale gold robes that are nearly white, who definitely gives off the impression of someone who's been immortal for so long that being human is a long-forgotten memory. He rises from his flowers and greets them imperiously, demanding to know for what purpose they have sought out the exiled founding master of Huanhua sect. He looks at them like they're hollow on the inside. Xiangqing Hua steps back so Liu Qingge can perform the most ridiculous part of the plan.
Unfortunately, it requires Liu Qingge to act. Luckily, it's not a complicated role. Liu Qingge plays himself, seeking a way to restore the youth of an innocent young girl who has been cursed, and Shang Qinghua is but the man's devoted servant. The Garden Master apparently believes this story immediately, probably because Liu Qingge has one of those faces for a hero, and Shang Qinghua has one of those faces for the unnamed extra who gets horribly killed off, to show exactly how much danger the heroic protagonist is in. He likes to think that his well-practiced bowing and scraping really helps sell the bit. The Garden Master is a prideful, bitter fellow who immediately demands that Liu Qingge first undergo a series of tests to prove that he's a true immortal. Liu Qingge immediately agrees to this, proclaiming that he'll easily pass these tests. The Garden Master insists that his servant is not to help him under any circumstances, and Liu Qingge orders his servant to stay out of the way. And Shang Qinghua sneaks off to steal the youth-restoring flower, while the Garden Master is distracted. The original master of Huanhua Palace sect walked the earth back in the days of Lady Xia's youth, and his skill in cultivating plants with miraculous properties was well known. When Luo Binghe became the master of Huanhua Palace sect, elder Lady Xia and her attendants plotted to force the protagonist to retrieve the Garden Master's prize flower for her by taking a hostage or something. There was probably supposed to be something poetic about two ancient masters, one from the demon realm and one from the human realm, challenging the protagonist's status as the emperor of both realms by forcing him to prove it. Shang Qinghua can't really remember how this plotline went over, but he does remember that both ancient masters tried to cheat the protagonist. The Garden Master will come up with test after test for Liu Qingge, going without sleep, going without food, that sort of thing. Because a man who cannot conquer sleep or hunger cannot hope to conquer death. And will never actually decide that Liu Qingge has proven himself worthy of a flower that the man isn't even using and will never use. The man will just keep moving the goalposts, like an asshole, while making droning speeches about how suffering improves character or how no feat will earn you others' hard work, which is undoubtedly a super infuriating life lesson to get from a man making you jump through hoops for kicks because he doesn't want anyone to take his miracle cure, especially not some disgusting half-demon like Luo Binghe, and then use it on someone who hasn't properly earned the right not to die. So, yeah, Shang Qinghua doesn't feel bad about straight-up stealing from the guy. If you're gonna be a dick, at least don't be preachy about it, he thinks. Shang Qinghua has just about zero interest in sticking around for whatever indeterminate amount of time Luo Binghe put up with the Garden Master's crap. He has shit to do, places to be. Feng Fan Li isn't getting any younger. He finds the right plant, some of the plainest, least impressive, thorny flowers in the garden, because of cliché, ironic tropes about deceptive appearances, and quickly transfers the entire row to a bunch of pots he brought in his Jiankun pouches, the main one of which he hides in a special pocket inside of his inner robes. Really brings him back to some of the stealing he used to do from Tianqiao Peak back in his disciple days. Then he goes back to where Liu Qingge is undergoing some test of strength and gives the signal, a thumbs up. The Baichan war god promptly throws the test aside and throws an incredible temper tantrum, shouting that it's beneath his dignity to perform menial tasks and demanding to fight the Garden Master for the prize he seeks. The acting is a bit stiff, maybe, but it's still pretty good. Wow. Shang Qinghua wonders if the man is drawing inspiration from Liu Mingyan when she's being bratty, or from, well, some of his competition at the Immortal Alliance Conference, or, their martial siblings, maybe. He was worried that Liu Qingge wouldn't go for the whole distract him and steal his shit while he's not looking plan, but Liu Qingge reluctantly agreed to a deception if the Garden Master truly had no intention of upholding his end of the deal. Shang Qinghua only had to pull out the think of Luo Jiahui card a little bit. The Garden Master tells him in very eloquent language to fuck off because they're unworthy of the fruits of his labors. He suggests that he might have been generous if only the girl they're attempting to save had come herself, but then pretty much states that anyone who can't fend for themselves deserves to die. Liu Qingga's scowling is definitely 100% real after that. Yeah, Shang Qinghua is pretty sure that Luo Bingha tore this guy apart. He can't remember the details, but he's sure it was super bloody. He's pretty sure Luo Bingha gave up on playing by anyone's rules, took the plant by force, wrecked the garden, and then wrecked everything that tried to fight him on the way out. The hero had no patience for being condescended to by a pair of ancient masters, especially when one of them had been permanently banished for his arrogance, and one of them had been reduced to a shriveled shadow of their former self. So he destroyed the Garden Master and spent the entire shitty walk back plotting Lady Xia's downfall. No more pretending to dance to anyone's tune. Not in an abyss. Shang Qinghua makes a show of begging his master to give up and go home, and Liu Qingga reluctantly allows himself to be persuaded and dragged away. The Garden Master watches them go with great dignity and disapproval until they get back into the boat and start rowing back across the sea. Then the man's white robes disappear from the gate to his manor back inside.
Fuck! Okay! Row! Row!
Shang Qinghua hisses.
Is he going to notice that you took them?
Liu Qingga asks, as he forcibly takes one oar from Shang Qinghua and starts rowing at double speed by himself.
I took pretty much the whole row, so probably.
Liu Qingga snorts. If Luo Bingha ever has to come down here, the Garden Master isn't going to be receptive at all. But another future plot line being cut doesn't seem too bad in the grand scheme of things. Besides, Shang Qinghua's nephew will be able to take that guy. They get all the way across the Green Sea, feet hitting the road across the underground desert that will lead back to the gate, when several enormous beasts that were clearly originally grown from a plant rise from the waves with a series of ear-splitting roars. Which is, on the one hand, a very bad thing. However, on the other hand, it's also a very good thing because it's unfortunately according to the plan. Shang Qinghua planned for this to happen. It's why he brought a war god.
Finally,
Liu Qingga says, drawing his sword. Shang Qinghua helps by setting up some spiritual fire, which is soon jumping from monster to monster, unafraid of the Green Sea's waves. They're both wearing gear to keep them safe from the fire, so he doesn't have to worry about Liu Qingga catching on fire. Someone has to, since Liu Qingga probably doesn't worry about that. When he throws in some more spells to drive the beast back or prevent limb regrowth. But, near the end, he's mostly just standing on the shore while Liu Qingga happily wrecks the Garden Master's beasts. Very protagonist-like. No wonder the guy had to die off-screen. When the Green Sea has finally become a soup of twitching plant and beast chunks, Liu Qingga lands back on the shore looking very self-satisfied. Shang Qinghua lost count of how many the man killed, because he lost track when some of them started multiplying when they were chopped up. He thinks Liu Qingga enjoyed that.
That wasn't bad,
Liu Qingga declares. I don't know how we're friends, Shang Qinghua says honestly, though he assumes that it's Luo Jiahui's fault somehow. He attributes most of the friends he has now to her doing in one way or another. I'm very glad we are, though. Thank you for coming. Really, I didn't want to do that bit myself. Blowing up a demon warlord, even a cursed and ancient one, has done wonders for Shang Qinghua's confidence here. But he's never really going to like this shit.
I promised your sister-in-law that I wouldn't let you go alone,
Liu Qingga admits. Ah, wow. Okay. Shang Qinghua could think that's a sign that Luo Jiahui doesn't have faith in him, but but he decides to have faith in her. He's touched that she pulled what few strings she could to look after him. Zhang Qinghua will take it.
But I would have come anyway, Liu Qingge adds, even if it wasn't for her.
Zhang Qinghua is exhausted, soaking wet, feels like he smells like smoke, and he's not looking forward to the long walk through the ghostly darkness. He really wasn't expecting to get a declaration like this.
I don't understand you either,
Liu Qingge admits directly. Ha ha, yeah. Zhang Qinghua has always supposed that.
But I don't need to understand everything,
Liu Qingge says next, cleaning his sword.
I understand the important things. Your sister-in-law told me that years ago. She was right.
Zhang Qinghua beams at the man in shock. What a bro! He really hopes he can manage to prevent the man's death. With the way that things have been going lately, he's pretty sure that he'll be able to do it. This is his story. It's really about time that things started going his way. What's another good friendship that might blow up in his face? The trek back across the desert, back down that long road, doesn't actually get any easier on the return trip, especially when the underground Knot sun sets and leaves them in the swallowing darkness once again. But the darkness doesn't last forever. The ghastly visions are easier to bear, knowing that they've succeeded in the first part of their quest. They keep walking, and eventually they reach the stone gate. Then they climb the stairs, and at the end of the passage, Zhang Qinghua steps out into the Mashu forest at night. Oh, the air tastes different up here. This sky looks so much better than the false sky down in that abyss, which felt oddly flat in its foreverness. Zhang Qinghua isn't really one for stargazing or moongazing or anything, but tonight he could make an exception. He's not going to, of course, but he feels like he could.
It's been at least 2 weeks,
Liu Qingge observes, looking at the moon. Ah, time passes strangely in an abyss, Zhang Qinghua answers, sending off a message to let Zhang Chong Mountain Sect know that they didn't just lose roughly 16% of their peak lords. He'll send one to Granny Sun later, maybe, and one to Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan to reassure the young men that they aren't now and forever on Yue Qingyuan's shit list for letting two of his peak lords jump down a haunted hole in the ground. They're going home. Zhang Qinghua and Liu Qingge have no interest in lingering. Zhang Qinghua only looks around just to make sure that the Huanhua Palace sect disciples haven't broken their promise and set up camp to wait for them. Zhang Qinghua made them fly off before he and Liu Qingge went down. He doesn't know for sure that there are side effects to hanging around an abyssal event, even such a minor and possibly man-made one. But it doesn't seem like an unreasonable concept, and those kids have to have better things to do than catch secondhand abyssal vapors.
We're going? Liu Qingge asks.
Yeah, good to go, Zhang Qinghua agrees, a hand coming to rest at his belt. Zhang Qinghua is exhausted and sick of the darkness. He's pretty sure he's not going to be getting the abyss out of behind his eyelids anytime soon, no matter how deeply he digs. So he's caught completely flat-footed when something collides with him hard. He goes flying into the nearest tree and struggles to push off his attacker. Something large and dark and disgusting, squishy, and definitely not human. Then something collides with his inhuman attacker hard, throwing them off. Liu Qingge to the rescue. The attacker tears at Zhang Qinghua's clothes. Bad! As it goes flying off into the forest. Good! Specifically at his belt. Bad! Liu Qingge goes crashing through the trees with the misshapen creature. Little more than a fast-moving, painfully strong lump in the darkness. And Zhang Qinghua scrambles to his feet, summoning his sword back to his hand. He checks for the pouch that was hanging from his belt. It's gone. Fuck! Zhang Qinghua curses reflexively. The creature just took his easy-access magic flashlights, maybe some other assorted supplies that he'll miss, but the main pouch, with most of the youth-restoring flowers, remained safely inside Shangqing Hua's inner robes. It's fine. They're still fine. It didn't take the really important one. But that doesn't change the fact that, one, someone slash something knew there was something to take, and two, someone slash something knew to be waiting here to take it. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Shangqing Hua swiftly follows the battle through Mashu Forest, which has already knocked over several large trees, ripped some deep gouges in the ground, as a war god wrestles with whatever the fuck that terrifying blob thing is. He finds Liu Qingge at the end of the Trail of Destruction, looking exactly like he's gone rolling through a forest with a large pile of bloody flesh at his feet. It smells demonic. Fuck! The creature slipped its skin, Liu Qingge says disgustedly. Shit, where'd it go? Liu Qingge's scowl deepens. It separated. I don't know. We're flying out of here, Shangqing Hua decides. Right now. Let's go. No chances. What a shame we lost our prize. But we can try again another time. We're leaving. Liu Qingge clearly wants to pursue it, but Shangqing Hua made him promise to listen to his Shixiang and avoid that succubus debacle again. They fly away, leaving Mashu Forest far below, and then behind them. They keep watch for any pursuers and don't stop until dawn is creeping over the horizon, and Shangqing Hua immediately slaps down some spells to prevent eavesdropping.
The disciples, Liu Qingge says.
Probably, but there's no guarantee it was through them. Someone on Tian Chao Peak or on Ding Peak could have heard enough to put some clues together. It's not very difficult to put the picture together if you have enough pieces, Shangqing Hua says, frustrated. It can't go to the top of Huanhua, or they would have just ambushed us and taken us to their dungeons. That thing probably followed the disciples there, since only four people at Tang Chong know the most important details. And those four people are all peak lords. Yue Qingyuan is the only other person at Tang Chong who knows they were going to Mashu Forest, because Mu Qingfang wasn't told that detail. Shangqing Hua didn't even tell Luo Jiahui anything really important. He'd been trying to keep track of which pieces are out there. Maybe Lady Xia has some lingering allies, or maybe lingering enemies. Fuck, he hopes that Duan Tianyu and Yu Qianan aren't dead.
They don't have the other flower, Liu Qingge says.
No, I didn't tell the disciples about that, did I? Ah, well, if they aren't dead, I'll have to update them on that. That would be a nasty surprise. The youth-restoring plot device hidden against Shangqing Hua's chest right now is a miracle cure for the ravages of age, but it's also deadly when used incorrectly. It doesn't stop restoring youth until a person is completely undone. It has to be used with another plot device at the right moment for the person to live. Otherwise, on its own, it's basically a super showy poison. That's how Lady Xia died in the original Proud Immortal Demon way. Shangqing Hua just blew her up, which seemed efficient at the time. But the twisted protagonist rarely wasted an opportunity to drag out someone's suffering. The original Luo Bingha suspected that something was amiss with the youth restoring flowers, thanks to some suspicious last words from the garden master. So he let Lady Xia turn herself young again. Then he let her tear herself apart, trying to prevent herself from being completely undone. The protagonist, who had nothing to worry about thanks to his heavenly demon blood negating most poisons, definitely could have saved her. But why? She was the villain. It's a shitty way to die. Shangqing Hua and Liu Qingge catch their breath, then keep flying along back to the Tian Gong mountain range without stopping. There's no rest for the wicked. So that means no rest for anyone else who wants to survive whatever wicked things are out there. Yeah, that's totally what the saying means.
They land on Tian Chao Peak first, and Shang Qinghua hands off the youth-restoring flower to Mu Qingfang, keeping some in reserve on his own person, just in case, who promises to look after the plant personally until the second stage of the cure can be obtained. Shang Qinghua laughs, possibly hysterically, promising that he'll get right on that as soon as he takes a nap. Or maybe after he sleeps for 3 days straight. What's the difference? The next bit will be a solo run for him, unfortunately. Shang Qinghua has told people that he has a secret merchant contact, working on acquiring the next step. But the flower he's selected as the most reliable counter to the first plot device only grows in the demon realm. Shang Qinghua has been cautiously sounding out how Mo Beijun feels about acting as his ride on such a mission, given the demon lord's OP teleportation powers. And he is just as cautiously optimistic. Mo Beijun seemed vaguely amenable to that. It's not as if the resource wouldn't be a good one for him to have on hand. Getting ambushed by a mysterious creature means that Shang Qinghua's confidence has taken a slight blow, but he's still pretty sure he can make this one work. No one knows the important details about Step 2 except him and Mo Beijun, and it's not like Mo Beijun actually talks to anyone. We've had some volunteers from the House of Rejuvenation's old servants and slaves to undergo a potential cure, Mu Qingfang says, interrupting Shang Qinghua's plotting. It may assure Madame Luo to know that her sister likely won't be undergoing an untried cure. Oh, Shang Qinghua says. That's good. You've been in contact with them? Mu Qingfang gives him an odd look. They didn't tell you? Shang Qinghua does not like the sound of that. Obviously not? Many of the House of Rejuvenation servants and slaves, their willing donors, chose to leave during Huanhua Palace Sect's investigation for one reason or another. Mu Qingfang explains, in the tone of someone trying to communicate that this is not at all what happened. Shun Shixiang quickly uncovered some of these servants and slaves in one of the towns along the Tiangong Range. My disciples and I have been studying their condition and seeing to their health after their difficulties. Oh, Shang Qinghua says, probably in the tone of someone who has figured out that this is not at all what happened. Thanks. He doesn't really know what to think of that. So, Shun Qingqiu stole some of the House of Rejuvenation servants from Huanhua Palace Sect's investigation? He didn't know Shun Qingqiu had it in him. As Shun Shixiang has said, they asked for our assistance. Mu Qingfang says wryly, how can we deny them? Shang Qinghua has been buried in arranging the Immortal Alliance Conference and trying to find a way to save his little sister-in-law's life, so he kept far away from the House of Rejuvenation mess. Yue Qingyuan let him know at some point that Huanhua Palace Sect had more than enough evidence to bury Madame Hu and the other scum villains involved, and that was more or less good enough for an overworked Shang Qinghua. Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan told him the same thing. Have you been telling them there's a cure on the way? Shang Qinghua asks. No, Mu Qingfang answers pointedly, a man who has made many oaths to keep the mission as secretive as possible. My disciples don't know either. I simply stated that any potential cure would be untested, and so might be dangerous or even deadly. And several of them volunteered anyway. That's nice, Shang Qinghua says absently. After being treated by Mu Qingfang, taking a much-needed bath and changing clothes, Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge report to Yue Qingyuan next.
they don't have to do this right away. But Shang Ching-Hua would rather get it over with the ready excuse of, wow, I'm super tired, when he's fucking done with the conversation. The man receives them immediately and shuts them all up in his office, where there's no chance of being overheard. And Shang Ching-Hua gives him a rundown of the underground mission itself. He doesn't explicitly say that they stole it, and Yue Qingyuan doesn't explicitly ask. And of the strange ambush that followed. Yue Qingyuan agrees that the ambush is concerning, but repeats what Shang Ching-Hua already knew. They can't really send people to investigate on Huanhua territory. Yue Qingyuan's look definitely says, especially if this exiled former master was uncooperative and you ended up just stealing it from him. Shang Ching-Hua puts on his best, I don't know what you're fucking talking about, face. They'll look into it as they can, whatever the fuck that means. Yue Qingyuan adds that, last he knows, Shang Ching-Hua's Huanhua Palace sect disciples are alive and well, which is relieving, even if the young men might have given them up, either accidentally or on purpose. Shang Ching-Hua doesn't want them dead. He'll have to get to the bottom of that later. I'm glad to hear that this personal mission was a success, despite some unforeseen elements, Yue Qingyuan says. He's smiling sincerely, but his expression then fades into something more solemn. Shang Shidi, I must apologize once again for appearing to doubt your abilities and your regard for your family. My concern was only ever for the apparent danger you would face. Ah, thank you, Shang Ching-Hua says. Like he didn't spend a significant amount of time in that abyss powered by spite at Yue Qingyuan specifically. Shen Qingqiu might be onto something. It's a hell of a drug. No harm done. It's the sect leader's job to be concerned about these things. Thank you for your understanding. It was impossible to tell whether or not Yue Qingyuan was surprised to hear that Shang Ching-Hua had actually succeeded in his personal mission. Shang Ching-Hua can't help but bitterly wonder if Yue Qingyuan is trying very hard not to seem surprised, just to keep anyone from taking offense. Shang Ching-Hua can only assume that Big Bro here is still very much on the outs with Shen Qingqiu, who's been extra pissed off with their sect leader since the Immortal Alliance conference. Worse than ever, maybe. Shang Ching-Hua really pities this guy sometimes. Except then he remembers that this shitty situation is almost entirely of his own making and could be improved at any time. Then he just pities him even more. And he gets sad about how this shitty world might actually be changing, shifting away from a miserable plot, and yet these two keep staying the same. Are you really never going to be better than this, bro? Shang Ching-Hua thinks. Because, believe it or not, it can get better. I know this world was made to match a web novel written by a shitty little man who didn't believe that, and your life rightfully sucked enough to make your current unhealthy coping mechanisms the least of it, but, bro, don't you want to get better? Or do you not believe he can get better? It's really none of Shang Ching-Hua's business, though. He's just going to keep telling himself that. Shang Ching-Hua stumbles back to his leisure house, looking forward to taking a trip down to Sanjiao Town and sharing the good news with his little family, who could all desperately use some good news. Feng Fanli has improved, but she's still not at all in a good place. Shang Ching-Hua has at least managed to persuade his sister-in-law to get help, since Luo Jiahui has been kind of overbearing and her little sister doesn't like it, which can end in shouting. Luo Jiahui asked her single mother friend, Yan Tingting, to keep the little sister-in-law company. Granny Sun dotes on Bingha, but she's not actually at the family's beck and call, and hanging around someone old sets Feng Fanli off. The little sister-in-law has been responding much better to Auntie Ting Ting's more youthful company. and Luo Binghe gets company in Yan Tingting's daughter, who's about the same age, which does a little to help the 7-year-old boy's growing resentment of his young aunt for being so unwell. Binghe is as understanding as he can be, Shang Qinghua thinks. The little protagonist is frustrated having to give up being the center of his loving mother's attention, even if he knows it's for a good reason, and he's been asking Shang Qinghua endlessly when everything will finally be made better again. Things have never been so tense between a stressed Luo Jiahui, who feels that Binghe should be more compassionate, and Luo Binghe, who has shouted more than once that he can't be expected to build a relationship with someone who keeps forgetting his name. Shang Qinghua sees both sides of the argument, and he regrets the fact that the Immortal Alliance Conference has been preventing him from really being there for Luo Jiahui beyond short visits. He's been kind of hesitant about his visits, honestly. Not looking forward to telling everyone that he hasn't yet managed to magically fix everything. That's a lot of pressure to put on a guy. He's hated seeing their upset faces every time he hasn't been able to pull a miracle out of his sleeve. Fuck. He can't wait to see Luo Jiahui smile again. Only one more plot device. A trip to the demon realm with Mo Beijun. No problem. Or so Shang Qinghua thinks, until he opens the door to his leisure house and finds his table covered in flowers. Really, really ugly flowers. Which smell, oh fuck, they smell so fucking bad. Shang Qinghua actually gags from the shitty smell pouring out the open door. The smell of the flowers is that bad. He's smelled worse, though. Probably. Shang Qinghua plugs his nose and perseveres, stepping inside to take a better look, because he's pretty sure this surprise isn't in the sabotage or assassination category. He moves towards his desk, where he finds the exact drawing he was just about to dig through his drawers for, already sitting on top of it. A faded diagram of a spiny flower, an exact match for the heap of flowers sitting on his table. Holy shit, he hopes that smell doesn't stick. He likes that table. It doesn't wobble. It's the drawing that he briefly showed to Mo Beijun when he was carefully feeling out how the demon lord felt about him maybe asking for a lift to get this medicine for his family. So, he guesses he doesn't have to take that trip to the demon realm then. Okay. It's not like he wanted to go on a dangerous trip to the demon realm or anything. He definitely wasn't looking forward to that. He's an extremely busy man, and he's not the sort of person who actually enjoys going on dangerous quests, unlike certain other peak lords. That last quest had been extremely stressful, even though nearly everything went right, exactly as planned. Shang Qinghua walks over to the table, feeling the spiny petal of one of the flowers from step two. He's never gotten flowers in his life. He's never been given flowers either, unless one counts supply shipments from the day-in, day-out of sect logistics, which he doesn't. He doesn't think this counts either, but something inside him still feels like it's fluttering. Probably the fear and confusion. Only one other person knew the details here. Only one demon lord could have done this. This definitely wasn't expected, but it's a good thing. A very good thing. His little sister-in-law is going to live. What the fuck, though? Shang Qinghua murmurs. Because what else can he say? He doesn't recognize this world anymore. That's not as scary a concept as it used to be, though. He can probably handle it.